Father, we come to you tonight thanking you for this day and thanking you for just a beautiful day. We thank you for the night, and we're going to pray right now. We're going to ask that you, your spirit, come in here tonight and bless each and every one of us. And we bless the Lesters as they bring the word and song, and Brother Cochran as he brings a message to us. And I just lift it up to you tonight and pray that those who don't know you tonight will not leave here before they come to Jesus.
Yes.
And so with that, all the people said,
amen.
Amen. Okay, I'm going to sing with the Lesters the first song. No, I don't want to.
Ladies and gentlemen, Joe Heckle.
This is fun, folks. This is the way it's supposed to be.
We've been saved by grace through the gospel we have heard. And now we live by faith, washed in the water and the word. And this blessed hope is for everyone to know. God so loved the world, he calls us to go and carry the message, be a servant they can see, bring the goodness of the truth that we believe, singing the joy of his salvation and everlasting life. Jesus Christ. Oh, it's a sacred trust to share what we have found. When we lift him up, hallelujah, glory comes down. So we'll take his light and boldly let it shine, reaching all the world. Carry the message, be a servant they can see, bringing the good news of the truth that we believe, singing the joy of his salvation and everlasting life. Carry the message of Jesus Christ. Tell one
house tonight. We're just so honored that he has blessed us with his presence. We're going to have a great time. I'll tell you what, I got a feeling some of you are going to know this and get ready to sing with us.
What can wash away my sins? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fount I know, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
And somebody say amen.
This is all my hope and nothing but the blood of Jesus.
This is all my righteousness. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Oh, precious is is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other fountain holds nothing but the blood of Jesus.
You're gonna know this with me.
There is power, wonder-working power in the blood. Precious blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of the Lamb. Oh, nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Did anybody hear Joel singing on that?
Who am I that the highest King would welcome me? I was lost, but He brought me in with His love for me. Oh, His love for me. The sun sets free, oh, it's free indeed. I'm a child of God, yes, I am. To the last, He has ransomed me, His grace runs deep. While I was a slave to sin, Jesus died for me. Yes, He died for me. Through the sun sets free, oh, is free indeed. I'm a child.
I'm a child of the King. Folks, I'm a rather large child, but I'm a child of the King. I'm so glad, you know, because I realized that once I was lost in the rags of my sins, wretched and poor, lost and lonely within, but with wondrous compassion, the King of all kings, pity and love, took me under his wings. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I'm a child of the King. His royal blood now flows in my veins, and I, who was wretched and poor, now can sing. Praise God, praise God. I'm a child of the King. Can you just lift your hands tonight and say, praise God.
Praise God.
Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Lord, in his name. We've got to figure that so much of the world looks at us like they think there's something bad wrong with us as Christians. Well, I got news for this whole world. If there's something bad wrong with me, just leave me this way. I'm a happy camper.
There you go.
I know what I've got because I know that one day I discovered the true meaning of what life is, and his name is Jesus. The good news is that he's still alive and well, folks, and he is here. Wow. It is so good. We had a wonderful evening last night. I'll have to be honest with you. We were kind of on a roll last night. We got in here late. We're not accustomed to doing it. We like to get here early, make sure everything's set properly. We want it to be the very best we could possibly get it for everything. And so we were running late. My sister Donna was going to be here with us. And it was a long story about that, but so many people I know have been praying on her behalf. I want you to know that she is home and doing well, and we praise God for that. She wanted to be here so desperately because so many wonderful friends here. But nevertheless, that's how it is. But anyway, had such a wonderful evening, and we are so honored to be a part of this. The Lesters have been singing for 97 consecutive years. Now, I've not been here all 97 of those consecutive years. I've been here quite a few of them, but I'm so thankful for the opportunity to continue on much more than a legacy. It's way more than history, but it's a personal relationship in Jesus Christ, and he has given us this opportunity. And folks, as long as there's a squeak in this old vocal box, we're going to keep on telling the story of Jesus and his love. My name is Brian. To my left, this is my daughter-in-law. Her name is Bailey. That is my son. His name is Jonathan. My wife, Sandra, is back in the back. Everything was in topsy-turvy last night. She didn't even get to come down here. She kept all the kids up there. What we do is a piece of cake. What she does, take care of them kids. Folks, that's a job. Now, let me tell you right now, all them little ones, are you glad to have the whole family here tonight? Come on! Jonathan, you know, number one, the next best thing, number one, was accept Jesus Christ in his heart as Lord and Savior. The next best thing he ever did was to marry this young lady right here. And I tell you what, we're blessed with a little Lester Quartet coming right along. We're going to have to get a bigger bus. I'll tell you what. But anyway, all right, we're going to have to do one more. Okay, yeah, go ahead. All right, the oldest is in the middle. That's little John. He is now 8 years old. Next in line is Miss Jada. She is 6 years old, and right now her favorite song of all is All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth. So, she's having a big time sporting that. And then, where's Smiling Joe? Oh, you did come tonight. She's right over there. Josie is now 4 years old, and she just smiles till it gets plumb ridiculous. So that's Smiling Joe. And then, next in line, on July 30th, 2 years ago, this little rascal came into the world. Praise God. His name is Judah. He is 2 years old. I can remember his birthday, July 30th, because that's the day that old Papa turned 70 years old. So we've got a whole lot in common. Anyway, give him a nice hand, and that's the kid. They're going to do one more of their favorites right now. Here we go.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He clutched me to victory and beneath the cleansing flood.
There you go. Give him a nice hand, folks. Here we go. Well, that little guy, he's 2 years old. He loves to wave. He's either going to be a preacher or a politician. I hope it's number one, folks. I'll tell you about it. Well, listen, here's a song we've been singing since the year 2000. We're not going to get away from it because it tells our heart. Sing it, baby.
Blessed beyond measure, with a home that is warm, filled with love. And I've been blessed beyond measure by a Savior who came from above. And I've been blessed beyond measure, and it's overwhelming my soul. How do you measure the blessings that are worth more than silver or gold? And how do you measure an ocean? How do you measure a sea? That he's given to you and to me. And how do you number the stars up above, or measure the sand by the sea? I'm blessed beyond measure with treasures for eternity. Beyond measure, and the Lord has been so good to me. And I've been blessed beyond measure for his goodness, and his mercies are free. And I've been blessed beyond measure. Family, tell me, how do you measure all of the blessings that he's given to you and to me? And how do you measure an ocean? How do you measure a sea? How do you measure the blessings that he
If you say amen.
Now we're talking. I like to tell people, I want to set the record straight. We never force our children to come up and sing. We always invite them, but they always have to come to church.
Yeah.
Amen?
Yeah.
That's firm. There's no choice. You're not staying on the bus unless you're asleep, obviously. That's what happened last night. The two smallest ones fell asleep. But moms, dads, grandma, grandpas, aunts, and uncles, we got a job to do. We got to raise them. And they want to learn. They want to be told. They want to love Jesus. I can tell you that. Because my kids, you can go into Walmart and they will sing hymns and gospel songs to the top of their lungs. We get some funny looks.
It's all right.
My kids love Jesus Christ. Now, none of them have made that personal decision. Not yet, but they're starting to ask the important questions. But all we can do, we can't make that decision for them, but we can give them the truth. We can instill the Word of God into them. And the Bible says that when you do that, they will not depart. There's going to be some teenage years. There might be some college years. But we got to pray. And like you said last night, that hit home. Because I do that so much, and I learn so much from my children. They hold me accountable because they expect me to be a godly man. Amen? And so those times when, maybe I'm not acting the way I should act, or maybe my attitude is incorrect, my kids will let me know. I say, now, Dad, is that how God would do it? But you know what? They also keep other kids in check. Because my kids will not take a bite of food until the meal has been prayed for. We went out with family, 22 people, and the kids started diving in. They said, no way, Jose, we got to pray first. Even the adults had started. But we can learn so much from little children, that childlike faith. And I get such a joy every night that I have the opportunity to stand on stage and watch them sing these songs. And they are very excited because tomorrow I'm taking them into the studio and they're going to record some of their very first songs on CD. And so they are so much looking forward to that. But as Dad said, man, it's great to be here. I told you last night, I love getting outside the church walls. And, people tell us, oh, you can't do revivals anymore. How many places have you heard that? Oh, people won't show up to revivals.
Thank you very much.
And I love it because it gives different people different parts and different roles to play. I heard a statistic last week, and I don't know if you heard this as well, but over the past 2 years, around 42 to 43% of our pastors have thought about completely leaving the ministry. That's pretty eye-opening. We can't let our leadership feel like they've got that full burden on their shoulders. We all have to pitch in. The Bible doesn't say, Pastor, go out and do all the work. He's to lead us. To lead us. But we've got to set aside those times to help and use the talents that God has bestowed upon us. And He will richly, richly bless. We're going to do... Do we got time for two more songs real quick? We don't want to take too much time. Okay. We As Dad said, the Lessers have been around since 1925, and he looks fantastic for being 97. I mean, the geritol has really kicked in tonight. But we've got some dear friends in the audience tonight that I know remember my grandparents and my great-grandparents. And I don't know if any, you know, they'll be able to make it any more of the evenings. But I'd like to go back and do a medley of some songs from the 1970s that we did. They were actually the very first top 10 songs we ever had in the gospel charts. But I really want to do it because of the very last song. And I think you'll get what I'm saying. Enjoy this.
Oh, ain't God good to give us so many blessings of misery? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, love and praise Him more today. Oh, but more tomorrow. Ain't God good to give us so many blessings of misery? That's what we are. We ought to thank Him, Lord, and praise Him a little more today, a whole lot more tomorrow. All the gold in California, there's walls of jasper, gates of pearl,
things we don't see in the soul world,
a crystal sea and a river of life.
No sin and no more strife.
We'll be
forever in that fair land, walking with Jesus hand in hand,
and living gold in the land where we'll walk.
The glory land gold.
All of the gold in California can't hold one candle to the gold you find in the glory land. The streets are paved with gold. A half has never, ever yet been told. California's gold can't hold one candle to glory land.
California's
gold can't hold one candle to glory land. Souls ready to fly in an age of confusion. I found my solution. The God of Revelation, the return of El Shaddai, the return of El Shaddai. That is my heart's cry. I'm tired of this world. My soul's ready to fly in an age of confusion. I found my solution. The God of Revelation, the return of El Shaddai.
Oh, but you know what?
Old-fashioned sin, killing, devil chasing, can't meet where you feel the fire burning in your soul. Where you feel so good inside, when you think you're satisfied, we need a Holy Ghost overflow. Old-fashioned sin, killing, devil chasing, can't meet where you feel the fire burning in your soul. You feel so good inside. When you think you're satisfied, we need a Holy Ghost overflow. Where you feel so good inside. When you think you're satisfied, we need a Holy Ghost overflow.
Praise God.
He is, folks. It's the Word of God that makes every bit of difference.
Genesis, he's the breath of life, and Exodus, the Passover lamb. In Leviticus, he's our high priest. Numbers, the fire by night, Deuteronomy, he's Moses' voice. In Joshua, he is salvation's choice. Judges, the lawgiver, and Ruth, the kinsman redeemer. First and Second Samuel, our trusted prophet.
In Kings and Chronicles, he's sovereign. Ezra, the true and faithful scribe.
Nehemiah, he's the rebuilder of broken walls and lives. In Esther, he is Mordecai's courage. In Job, the timeless redeemer. In Psalms, he is our morning song. In Proverbs, a wisdom's cry. Ecclesiastes, the time and season. In the Song of Solomon, he is the lover's ring.
In Isaiah, he is the Prince of Peace. Jeremiah, the weeping prophet.
In Lamentations, the cry for Israel.
Ezekiel, he's the call from sin. And Daniel, the stranger in the fire. In Hosea,
he's forever faithful.
In Joel, he is the Spirit's power. In Amos, the arms that carry us.
In Obadiah, he's the Lord our Savior.
In Jonah, he's the great missionary.
In Micah, the promise of peace. And then, he is our strength and our shield. In the background, in Zephaniah,
he's pleading for revival.
In Haggai, he restores a lost heritage.
In Zechariah,
in Malachi, he is the Son of Righteousness, rising with healing in his wings.
Shut up.
Heavenly Father, we give you all honor, praise, and glory, for you are worthy of each and all. We ask, God, that you continue to bless us throughout this evening now. Thank you for giving us the word and song. Thank you now as Brother Larry comes to share whatever you've laid up on his heart. Father, we believe with all of our heart that lives are going to be touched, changed, and received from your presence. We love you in Jesus' name. And the church said amen. Brother Larry Cochran, give him a God bless you as he comes to share the word.
That's all right. Man, that is a message and song like you just not going to get over. Praise the Lord tonight. Woo! Have you got victory in Jesus tonight?
Amen.
You don't, you should have. Good land of mercy. We just give the invitation right now. Would you come over? You missed that on that message. You missed it all right now tonight. But he's the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and Omega, the Rose of Sharon, the Lily in the Valley. He's the bright morning star. All things were made by him, for him, and in him, all things hold together in Jesus.
Amen.
He is everything tonight. And all we have to do tonight is open that door of our heart and allow him to come in by faith.
Amen.
Everything we receive from God is by faith. Your salvation is trusting in Jesus Christ alone for your salvation. Not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy as he saved us. For by grace, are you saved through faith? And that not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not a works lest any man should boast. Jesus made it very plain, and Paul made it plain in Romans too, didn't he? When he said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. If I had a gift in my hand, it's all yours tonight, if you'll just reach out and take it. And that's all that Jesus is really saying this tonight. If you'll just reach out, he said, I'll in no wise cast out any man who comes to me. If you come to Jesus, he's there to meet you right where you are. Now, I don't have to tell you tonight, this nation is in tremendous turmoil. And I'm not going to repeat all the news that's been happening in this world tonight, but you can be sure tonight, Jesus Christ still reigns and rules over all the earth. And he wants you to know tonight, you belong to him. Don't put your eyes on the world. Set your affections on the things above. Look to him and trust in him tonight, because all things are in his hands tonight, and all things are working together for good. All it took was one Methodist layman back in 1858. One Methodist layman. Who just started a little prayer meeting there, Jeremiah Lamprey. Y'all know this story. I told it 100 times, I'm sure. Now, I want you to know tonight, it ain't a doubt in my mind that one man, one person, one godly woman, or one godly man or child here tonight can be an instrument of grace that can literally change the course of history. Did you know tonight, it's not politicians who reign and rule the world, or kings or queens. It's all about the intercessors of God tonight who are standing in the gap with him. God said, if I could just find one man who would stand in the gap with me, I would withhold my wrath and I would not bring my judgment on the earth. If I could just find one man in Ezekiel, and he said, I could not find anyone. Are you going to be that one tonight? Will you stand in the gap for your family? Will you stand in the gap for this great nation of ours tonight? All God needs is just one. Jeremiah Lamprey started that little prayer meeting in New York City, and all of a sudden, a few more gathered together the next day and the next day. It's sort of like camp meeting here tonight. The longer we keep going, the longer you're going to see the witness and the power of God's precious Holy Spirit move in our midst. And that's the way revival meetings go, aren't they?
Amen.
All it took was just that one little prayer meeting. And then it spread and it multiplied. And all of a sudden, the Spirit of the Lord broke through on the frontier. And over 2 million lay people were swept into the kingdom. It's called the Second Great Awakening. And it happened right here in America. Do you believe that can happen again tonight?
Yes.
I want you to know tonight, you hold the keys in your hand tonight. You and I, the everyday, ordinary Christian, can make a difference in all the world. You say, well, there's 8 billion people in the world. What difference can one person make? Well, let me tell you something. To the world, you may be just one person. But to one person, you can be the whole world to them. You know that tonight? All it takes is one person. Abraham, I'm going to bless you. And through you, Abraham, I'm going to bless all the families of the earth tonight. Isn't it amazing? You and I are here tonight because God blessed Abraham. And the Bible says very clearly in Galatians, if you be Christ, then are you the seed of Abraham and heirs according to the promise. Here we are tonight. Aren't you glad for the great inheritance you have in the Lord tonight? I'm grateful for a praying grandmother, Brother Brian. I got his name right. I studied that. I wrote it down. I even said it. My daughter got a kick out of that one last night. Where's Joe at? Don't go there. One person. Abraham.
Amen.
Nehemiah. I need one man that'll stand in the gap. You know something, Mike? God's looking for warriors, not wanderers. He's looking for people who've got a backbone instead of a wishbone. He's looking for people who are going to have convictions in their heart that will stand, just like Jonathan said tonight. He needs godly parents who will instill the word of God in their children and will make that multiply out. And the world would be a different place tonight if every one of us would just get on our knees and say, Lord, let revival begin and let it begin with me. That's what D.L. Moody said many years ago. How did D.L. Moody come to Christ? He came to Christ through a Sunday school teacher who just happened to walk in the shoe store that day he was working and led him to Christ, offered the gospel to him. And D.L. Moody, as you know, became a world-renowned evangelist. But through his ministry one night, you remember D.L. Moody was preaching, that's when Wilbur Chapman came to Christ. Wilbur Chapman was a man of God that God used many years later. And through his ministry, Mordecai Ham came to Christ. And you know the story, of course, Mordecai Ham. Evangelist in North Carolina. He was preaching tonight that Billy Graham came walking down to the front. It all began with one Sunday school teacher who was just faithful to God. I wish we could have a revival tonight, a revival of faithfulness, a return to God's word to say, Lord, I'm not going to give up, shut up. I'm not going to do anything. I'm going to stand up for you, and I'm going to believe you tonight. I'm sorry that there's 42% of the pastors willing to quit tonight. But you know something, it's not untrue. There are many discouraged, disappointed, disillusioned, and defeated people all over the world. They're living in defeat. They're living on their feelings rather than their faith in God's word. And that could happen to you. You can get easily discouraged and disillusioned if you don't keep your mind on God's holy word. I said it last night. I'm going to say it again. If you don't put God's word into your heart, the devil will come in and put fear, doubt, and worry in your mind. And too many people living on the aftermath of what Satan has done in their life tonight. I want to tell you, somebody asked me a few weeks ago, said, Brother Larry, you've been preaching 48 years. When are you going to retire? I said, I'm going to retire when the devil retires. That's when we're going to retire. Until the devil retires, there ain't no quitting this preacher, brother. I promise you that tonight. We've been beat up. My wife and I have gone through more than we've ever been in the last 3 years. I can't tell you. Operations, knee replacement, surgery. Broken hip. I don't want to go around the litany. But you know something? That's not what's important. The important thing is that God still showed up and he carried us through every difficulty, every trial, and he'll do the same for you tonight if you'll just open your heart wide to him and say, Lord, fill me with your word in my heart. Jesus is about saving souls tonight. He was born in a barred manger. He preached out of a borrowed boat. He prayed with his disciples in a borrowed upper room. And he was dead and crucified and buried in a borrowed tomb. But you know something, tonight? He wants to borrow your life tonight, right now. He wants to instill his spirit within you and me tonight. And that's the reason I feel so happy tonight to be with this precious room tonight. Brother, thank you for all the music and worship and the joy of the Lord that I feel in my spirit tonight. Oh, my goodness, we've just begun. Now, if I was in Mexico, we've got at least 3 more hours. I promise. You won't believe this. My wife and I just came from Peru. We celebrated the 47th anniversary of our church on a Thursday night, and we were there 4 hours. The night before, 3 hours. The night before. They don't go home. They just want to praise the Lord. Now, what would happen tonight if we had a Holy Ghost, soul-saving, sin-killing, spirit-filled prayer revival tonight, and we just said, Lord, we ain't leaving here till you show up in our lives tonight, and let the altar be filled with hearts that have been set aflame with the fire of the Holy Spirit, God's Spirit is real tonight, my friends. I'm going to tell you tonight, He's more than conquerors. He's going to make you victorious in Jesus Christ. Say it with me tonight. Thanks be unto God.
Thanks be unto God.
He causes us always to triumph.
Always.
Come on, say it with me. Don't get lazy on. Come on. Thanks be unto God.
Thanks be unto God.
Who causes us
to always
triumph. For I can do all things through Christ, who strengthens me. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly, above and beyond, all that we could ask or think. What a prayer promise that is. He's able to do exceedingly and abundantly, above and beyond all that you can imagine. 1980, 42 years ago, I was in a little mountain village in Colombia. A little orphan kid, 7 years old. And God brought him into my heart. I felt so sorry for these little orphans. We rode off that last night. We left that orphanage. My heart was just broken. Broken for these heartbroken people. God said, son, this is what you're going to be doing the rest of your life. Is rescuing and reaching out to the poor and the destitute. Mm. You know something, Mike? God's never failed.
That's right.
If I had my favorite place to be tonight, if I couldn't be here with you, and I want to know, I want you to know I'm glad to be here. Amen. But I tell you what, my favorite place is the trash dump in Nicaragua. I love to be with my friends down there. Been going for years. But people who stir through the trash to find something to eat or sell. You want to be among the humble. Let me tell you something. God has chosen to give the gospel to the poor in spirit, and the poor of those who are recognizing their need of God. And I find that the poorest people and the most refugee people are the ones who are most responding to the gospel. Now, friends, I want you to know tonight, it don't matter how wealthy you are, materially speaking, what we need is to recognize the need in our heart, the poverty of our spirit, to say, Lord, there's something more that I want you to do in my life than you've ever done before. And help me to recognize and to realize that tonight is God's greatest privilege and greatest honor tonight is to bestow upon you. He became poor so that you could be made rich. He became sin so that you could be made righteous. He died so that you could have eternal life. He shed his blood that you could be forgiven. He became the victim so that you could have the victory. Jesus did all that exchange for you and me tonight. Isn't it wonderful tonight to have the love of Christ in your heart and life tonight, to know how rich you are and how much God has blessed you. But he's blessed you for a reason, not to keep it for yourself. It's to give it away. It's to share the good news of the gospel tonight. I want to challenge you tonight. You go home this evening. You pick up the phone. You call somebody. You call somebody tomorrow and say, won't you come to camp meeting tomorrow night? Everybody just bring one more person tomorrow night. What would happen tomorrow night? If we had one more person, everybody brought one, what would happen? We'd have enough people to double up, and then we'd say, everybody get one more. That's how revival begins. It's just one at a time. God wants to honor that tonight in your life and heart. So when we look tonight at revival, boy, I can go off on another three different directions right now. I'm so glad for the word of God. Aren't you glad tonight?
Amen.
Faith comes by hearing. This is so precious to my heart. It is so precious to you that we have these exceedingly wonderful, great, and wonderful promises that we might be partakers of the divine nature. God's word is so rich and so powerful. And you look at it, you believe it, you read it, and you act on it. And God will change your life. He'll bring revival to your heart or home. And all it takes is just one person. Nehemiah, Queen Esther, just one person. Standing in the gap for the people of Israel, just one person. All it took was Barnabas, one person. Paul, one person. And all God wants to do is take your life and use it. Now bow your heads with me before we read the word. Father, I thank you in the mighty name of Jesus tonight. May your precious Holy Spirit bathe our hearts afresh and anew. Lord, we just prayed for the restoration of the joy of the Lord in our hearts tonight, Lord. We pray tonight, Lord, that you'd recapture anything that the enemy tried to steal from us. We ask you in the blessed name of Jesus tonight that we'd open our hearts to salvation, to allow Jesus to come in and to change us, transform us, and renew our hearts in you tonight. And we'll give you thanks and praise for what you're going to do in every heart here tonight. Lord, I pray for every family, every mom and dad, every grandparent here tonight. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, bathe us in your spirit that we may be witnesses to our children and to our children's children. And Lord, may they know that the grace and the love of Christ is in our hearts tonight, Lord. And by so doing, you'll change their life as well. And we give you thanks tonight. Would you raise your hand tonight and say, Pastor, pray for me tonight. I want to be a greater witness for you. I want a greater empowering of the Holy Spirit. Lord, I want something new and fresh in my life that hasn't been done in a long time. And Father, I want revival, and I want revival to begin with me tonight. Can I hear an amen right there tonight?
Amen.
Bow your heads, keep your eyes closed tonight in the name of Jesus. You pray. Father, I just pray right now in the mighty name of Jesus, Lord. You're not done with the United States of America. I just praise you and thank you tonight, Lord, that your spirit would come, your eyes would run to and fro throughout all the universe tonight, Lord, to show yourself strong in behalf of those whose hearts have been completely surrendered to you. Thank you, Father, tonight. Let your eyes shine on this tent meeting tonight. May your hand rest upon us tonight, Lord. Open our hearts to the precious word tonight and allow your rich word to challenge us and change us and transform us, Father. We pray tonight, Father. Holy Spirit, bring revival and let it begin with each of us tonight in Jesus' name. And everybody say,
amen.
Amen. Open your Bibles to Psalm 51 real quickly tonight. Let's see. We're just on the first hour, so we're good. We're good. Good time. You're good. You know, one of the things I love about revival is that you get to pray the word of God. When you get anything, you don't have anything else to pray in your life, pick up the Bible and just pray the Bible. Pray it out loud. I'm telling you, it's amazing the power that God gives you when you pray. And it's not about you, it's about him. It's about his promises. And I love that story in Psalm 51, and it's a familiar story, one that you're all pretty well familiar with, those of you who have been walking with the Lord, but it's the story of David and his prayer of repentance. Now, there are many prayers in the Bible that you could pray. The Jehoshaphat prayer is another good one when he said, Lord, we don't know what to do. We don't know which way to turn, but our eyes are fixed on you. Now, that's a good prayer to pray when you're in desperation. When you don't know anything else to pray, just pray 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 12. Pray that prayer out loud. Say, Lord, I don't know what to do. I don't know which way to turn, but my eyes are fixed on you. And you'll find the strength of the Lord will come into your life. Why? Because you've confessed your weakness. You confess you don't know what to do. You don't know where to turn. God never turns away the prayer of a contrite and humble heart. Let me ask you tonight, where do you think God dwells? Where does he dwell? He dwells in the high and the holy, doesn't he? But Isaiah 57:15, I want you to read that sometime. Don't read it right now. I'm diverting again. But Isaiah 57:15, what does he say? God says, I not only dwell among the high and the lofty, I dwell among the contrite and humble of spirit. And that's the reason we see revival on the mission fields around the world. It's just people have nothing else to say but, God, here am I. I'm here. I've got nothing. I don't know which way to turn, but, God, I need you. And let me tell you something. He will show up. Oh, my. God's looking for people who confess their weaknesses. Why? Because he said, I will perfect my strength in your what? In your weaknesses. Your weaknesses is your strength. When you think you're strong, guess what? That's when you're the weakest. Isn't it amazing? God always says, I want to give to the humble of heart. He says in Psalm 25, I will teach the humble my way. Isn't that amazing? God says, let not the, Jeremiah, remember what he said? Don't let the rich man boast in his riches. Don't let the wise man boast in his wisdom. Don't let the mighty man boast in his power, but let him who boasts boast in this, that you've come to know me and my ways. Whew, that's what we need tonight. We don't need more money. We think money will solve problems. It won't solve God's problems. No, it's not with the wisdom of man that's going to change. It's not the wisdom of politicians that's going to change our nation. No. It's when we begin to intercede and pray. You see, when the French went through the bloody revolution in their country many years ago, they went toward deism. It was a bloody civil revolution, but It didn't come to England. Why? Because Wesley and the early Methodists prayed and they fasted and they sought God, and God spared England. Then the Industrial Revolution was birthed and the revival spread, and then it came to America, came through the wilderness, and here we are tonight because one man came. I'm thankful tonight for a praying grandma. My grandmama was the reason I'm standing here. Sitting by the old upright radio in 1952, listening to Oral Roberts and hearing all the songs and stuff that was going on back then. I was just a kid. But you know, that marked my life, hearing Oral Roberts way back in the 50s. My grandmother opened in the Bible, read the Bible. Into the feather bed we went 8:30 every night. It wasn't nothing but a big old feather bed. He'd just swallow you up. But I want to tell you, my grandmother was never famous. She was never well known. She just loved Jesus. And she taught me through her faithfulness. Friends, I want you to know tonight, that's what God is wanting in you, is a faithful heart to look to Him. Even in the times when we don't know which way to turn. In a few moments, we'll read, of course, the Aziel. He said, Lord, the Spirit has come upon me. And I want to tell you people tonight, he said, the battle is not yours, the battle is the Lord's. And that's what we got to remind ourselves tonight, is the battle is His. Now let's read this Psalm 51, verses 10 following, just these few words. Create in me, O David said, a clean heart. Renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me away from your presence. Do not take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the, say it again with me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation. And uphold me by your generous spirit. Then I will teach transgressors your way, and sinners shall be converted to you. Isn't that a recipe for revival right there? It's just a recipe for personal renewal every day of your life. It's amazing to me how if you just start the day reading God's word and just open your heart and say, Jesus, just speak to me. And this one little promise here tonight, and I don't ever forget this promise tonight, no matter how much the devil may berate me, put me down. The devil's come to accuse you. He's going to stand before the throne of God every day and night. And he's accusing the brethren, the Bible says. He comes like a serpent in Genesis. He comes like Satan in the book of Job. All the different ways he shows up in the Bible. He's always to do what? To deceive you, to tempt you, to destroy you. There's some of us here tonight that have been abused in our past. We've been berated. We've been put down. We've had parents that said things to us. My father was an alcoholic. I lived with alcohol. I know what it was like. I'll tell you something tonight. I'm not living in the past. I'm living in the present tense. Tonight is the day of your salvation. What's happened yesterday, God will take care of through the blood of Jesus. I can remember standing at the tombstone of my dad and said, I forgive you for the absence of a father. And I need it so desperately. And I don't hold that against him. You too. I too have sinned. I too have come short of the glory of God. And I want you to say this with me tonight. Ephesians 4:32. Be ye therefore kind-hearted, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you. Would you say that with me tonight? Be ye therefore kind-hearted, tender-hearted, compassionate, forgiving one another, even as Christ has forgiven you.
Even as Christ has forgiven you.
You know something tonight? You can't hold unforgiveness against somebody when you realize how much He's forgiven you. Don't hold on to those offenses. Don't hold on to those hurts and pains that have been bearing you down for years. Let it go. Turn it to Christ tonight. Let Him come. He's the one who will forgive and to cleanse and heal and restore your broken heart. Blessed is the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. And guess who He is? It's Jesus tonight. Jesus said in Luke chapter 4, He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. I've come here for one reason, to heal the brokenhearted. If you don't let Him heal you tonight, then it's because you're not letting go and surrendering to Him. You want to hold on to your past, you hold on to it. But I want to tell you something this evening, without a shadow of a doubt. Bitterness is the poison you swallow, hoping the other person dies.
Yeah.
It won't happen. You're the one that then takes in the poison, and your spirit will become bitter and angry and resentful. I want to say to you tonight, there's revival coming. The wind of the Spirit of God is moving through our midst tonight. He's calling us to a place of deep felt repentance, a deep felt call of God to return to Him, to consecrate our hearts to His heart tonight. And David prayed that out of his adultery and out of his sinful affair that he had in the death of Uriah. David was still called a man after what? A man after God's own heart. Isn't it amazing? All that he did, the pride of census that cost 70,000 men their lives, his adulterous affair, his campaigns, his multiplicity of wives and children and everything else, you'd think David was just a reprobate. But you know something? The Holy Spirit knew that he had a humble heart, and he humbled himself before the living God. And when he did, God said, now this is a man after my heart. You see, if you're too proud to let go and turn to God, then your pride will destroy you. God stands opposed to the proud. He gives grace to the humble. Pride is the issue tonight in America. Pride is the sin that is the amnesia of the soul. Pride is what keeps us from finding victory and power and grace, because why? We're holding on to those inner little sins of our life. God wants to change the nature of our hearts, doesn't he? And so David cried out, just as any of us should say, Lord, would you create within me a clean heart? Would you, Father, tonight, right now, in Jesus' name, renew a steadfast spirit, a steady spirit, Lord? Help me to be somebody you can count on, Lord, tonight, that will carry the torch of your love in our life tonight. Would you let him do that tonight? Would you let him create a clean heart within you and put within you a steadfast what? Steadfast spirit. And Lord, if you will, just please remember me tonight. Lord, do not take me away from your presence. You know that's the most precious commodity everybody here in this room has tonight, is the presence of the Holy Spirit in your heart. And you receive that by faith, every one of us. Jesus said, if you then being evil know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him? He wants to give the Holy Spirit. He wants you to ask him. He wants you to draw upon him and draw upon his grace every moment of your life. No matter how many times we may fail or come short of the glory of God, Lord, would you create within me a clean heart? Renew within me a steadfast spirit. Lord, help me to know the awareness of your presence in my life every day. Boy, when the people of Israel moved the Ark of the Covenant, they were all through all these different places. All within that Ark of the Covenant were three items that the Bible says in Hebrews 9 said they never left sight of. Aaron's rod, the manna from heaven, and the Ten Commandments. They all represent the presence of the Almighty God. The Aaron's rod represented the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit. We know that. Manna from heaven represented what? God's divine provision for your life every day. When you walk in the presence of God, he said, never have I seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. I want to tell you tonight, you'll never lack anything in God's provision if you have his vision of his life in you. God will always provide supernaturally. His presence will always make that available. And the Ten Commandments, what were they there for? To protect you. That's God's laws. He said, don't get outside the band of these laws. You'll get hurt. I tell my children, I'm sure Jonathan and Bailey do the same for there. Don't ride out here in the street. You might get hurt. It's a commandment. It's to protect you. And God says, don't steal. Don't lie. Don't bear false witness. Don't commit adultery. Don't do these things. Why? Because it will destroy you. If you have time when you go home tonight, you pull up the YouTube video. Franklin Graham, flying blind. I dare you to watch it. Watch it when you get a chance. I'm putting it in just as an advertising because I know how powerful it is. I want to tell you something tonight. God, through the Holy Spirit, will never leave you nor forsake you. He's always there for us. No matter how much we may wander from him, God is always like the He's like the hound of heaven. He just pursues us every day of our life, doesn't he? You can always count on the love of God. He will always surpass anything you could imagine. He cannot stop loving you. No matter how much we may fall away in sin, God's love is supreme and powerful tonight. It's the greatest power in all the world.
Amen.
And the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, and you shall receive what? God's love through the power of the Holy Spirit. It's a spiritual love, supernaturally given to you and me. And David was crying out to him, Lord, please create within me a clean heart, a steadfast spirit. Keep your presence in my life and heart. And Lord, please do one thing for me. Please restore unto me the joy of your salvation. You know the reason many of us aren't experiencing joy anymore? Because we wandered away from the flock. The problem with presenting a living sacrifice on the altar is it has a way of calling off the altar. And you have to present your body as a living sacrifice, and you have to come back the next day and present your body as a living sacrifice. But if it's living, it can crawl away from the altar. But if you keep presenting yourself to him, you can be sure tonight God, the Holy Spirit, will never leave you nor forsake you. He'll stand with you and be with you, and he'll put this artesian joy in your life. You know the reason preachers are quitting tonight? They've lost the joy. There's no joy. There's been hurts. They've been pained. They've been wounded. They've been hurt. They watch people just wander away from the faith. They don't know which way to turn. But guess what? There's some of us here tonight, right now, that need to understand right now, the joy of the Lord is our what? Is our strength. The joy of the Lord. The Bible says that Jesus, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross. Wow. Jesus, for the joy of knowing that he was fulfilling God's plan, did so with you in mind. He had your joy in mind as well. Isn't it amazing tonight? God says, just restore the joy of thy salvation. Everywhere Jesus went, wedding at Cana, he turns the water into wine, the party keeps going. He goes to the water at the well, the woman at the well, she comes, she's lost all of her joy. She's had five husbands. Her life's going nowhere. Jesus says, I'm going to give you water to drink you've never had before. Gave her a thirst in her heart, and all of a sudden she had the recognition that Jesus was the Messiah, and all of a sudden she turns and runs with joy back to her village and says, come and see. I want you to see the man who knows everything about me. Her joy was restored in a moment's time. Isn't that amazing? When God forgives you, he restores the joy of the Lord in your heart. He puts a bounce in your step and a joy in your life, and you start singing the praises of God in everything in your life. Say it with me tonight. Rejoice in the Lord.
Always.
Give God thanks in all circumstances. Pray without
ceasing.
Three things you should be doing all the time. Rejoicing in the Lord. Praising him without ceasing. Thanking him for all the circumstances, whatever they might be. That's hard to do. Merlin Carruthers wrote the book Prison of Praise back 40-something years ago. I read that book. My mother sent it to me. It led me to Christ. Had a lot to do with influencing my life and the Lord, that even tonight, that the attitude of gratitude is the attitude that God wants his church to always be offering back to him. It's a sweet-smelling savor to the Lord. To praise him, to thank him, to worship him. And the Bible then says in Colossians chapter 3, I love it. He says, whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord, not as unto men. God wants to put the joy in our life. Why? Because he's put the new nature of the Holy Spirit in our life. He's changed our sinful nature to the godly nature, and that gives you joy. And Jesus, even when he led the woman at the well to that fountain of eternal life, the disciples came and said, Master, we've got bread for you to eat. He said, no, you don't have bread that I need, y'all. He was so overjoyed with that salvation. Right there, everything was changed in a moment in time. Bartimaeus, what would you have me do for you? You remember the story? Blind man, asking the question. Could I ask you that tonight? If you were to stand here at this altar tonight and God was to say to you, what would you have me do for you? What would you say? What did Bartimaeus say? Well, just do anything you want to do, Lord. It's okay with me. That's our attitude a lot of times as Christians, as followers. Lord, whatever you want to do, it's okay with me. He said, Lord, I want to see. I want the miracle done. How many of you need a miracle tonight in your life? I don't know about you. I'm looking for God to be able to do a miracle of transformation. And when you pray in faith, believing, and say, Lord, this is what I need, I'm going to come asking, believing, and seeking, and trusting you, God will do just that in your life. Be anxious for nothing, Paul said. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything, through prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, make all your requests be made known to God. Brother Chuck, can you think of a better promise in all your life? I can't think of one thing in this world tonight that God can say, be anxious for nothing. What are you anxious about tonight? Are you? Are you worried, preoccupied? Are you living in the past? Are you wanting God to do something new in your spirit tonight that will restore the joy of thy salvation unto thy heart? I want to tell you tonight, when joy begins to be filled up in the Christian's life tonight, in the body of Christ, we start seeing that joy expressed in our love for each other. Now, what it was like in the book of New Testament when they sold their goods and property, gave to everybody as every man might have need, and all of a sudden the joy of the Lord was there. I was sitting in a little old peasant home there in Mexico, in Durango, Mexico, 30 years ago. I remember it was a dirt floor, and all these poor Mexicans were gathered around. They said, Brother Larry, we want to fix you some chicken and rice. Never did have turned down chicken and rice. I tell you what, you never get tired. It was about midnight. They're sitting there, poured out the best food, and then all of a sudden somebody came out with an accordion. Brother Brian came out with a big old homemade bass guitar made out of clothesline wire. Everybody had another dish. They started singing. All of a sudden, the place was filled with noise. Good gracious. 12:30 in the morning, they going to wake all the neighbors up. They did. And the neighbors came. And they joined us. And now it's 1 o'clock in the morning. We're singing to the top of our lungs. Allah Mare, Allah Mare, Allah Mare, Allah Mare, Allah Mare, Allah Mare, Senor. Remember that, Craig? I won't sing in Spanish. But you know something? When they started singing, it was like the Holy Spirit pointed his finger at my face. He said, son, look around you. These are my rich people. You're the poor. I was the one that was struck with poverty. They didn't have anything, but they had everything.
Amen.
They were singing to the praise of God. Some of the happiest, wealthiest, richest people I've ever met have been in these kind of obscure places around the earth. And I long for it. My heart yearns for it. Jonathan, I just can't quit. I'm going to tell every pastor, come join us. Get on the boat with us. Come with us. Just come and see. How many of you have been on a short-term mission trip? We've been together a while, several hours. Isn't it great? What God can do with one person. Now tonight, let me close with this. Listen to me. This is important. Our nation depends on you. Our nation is being weighed in the balance right now. We know it.
Yes.
Our nation right now is on the catastrophe train ride that is just bound to crash unless God intervenes. We know it tonight. It's going to take revival.
Amen.
That's the reason I was so excited to be here tonight with you and to have this precious family. Oh, my goodness, y'all have blessed my soul, brother. We should have had an altar call after the singing tonight. I feel like we ought to let them sing one more time. When we get up, we'll get this. Well, let me tell you something. Now, listen to me. We got to humble ourselves before God. And that's the reason this altar rail is always open for people who will humble themselves. Now, let me close. Jehoshaphat gathers all the people. They're surrounded by the Ammonites. They're about to be destroyed. He said, Lord, we don't know which way to go. We don't know what to do. Our eyes are fixed on you. And the Bible says all the people gathered together and they came down and they stood in front. And the Holy Spirit came on Jehaziel and he said to the people, do not be discouraged. Do not be dismayed. Can I say that to you tonight? The Holy Spirit is saying tonight, listen, God's going to conquer your discouragement, your despair. He's going to conquer those issues in your life where you've been wrapped up in all the attack of the enemy. But he wants to say to you tonight, without a doubt, the battle is his, not yours. And if you'll surrender and yield our hearts to him, he'll do for you just what he did for King David. He'll do for you just what he did for Jeremiah. He'll do that the same thing he did for Moses and all of us, where we've all come short. We say, God, let thy spirit fall and fall afresh on me. You're just one person, but you're the one person that God may choose to bless one other family. And oh my, what God may do through that. Would you be an instrument of His revival tonight? Would you ask Him to say, Lord, would you create within me a clean heart, a pure heart, that's unfiltered by all the sin and the accidents of the world? Worldliness will kill us. It's not the Christian in the world that sinks the Christian. It's when the world gets in the Christian that sinks the Christian. It's not the boat in the water that sinks the boat. It's when the water gets in the boat that sinks the boat. And tonight, we need to remind ourselves tonight. We've been set apart for the glory of God. And you've got one life to live. Not just so you know that you're just going to heaven tonight, but you're going to take some more with you. You've come to rescue others. You've come to be a rescuer of the Holy Spirit tonight as well tonight. And if you'll be that person tonight, be that one tonight, stand up for Him. God will come. He'll bless us. Would you stand to your feet tonight right now? Thank you for your patience. We're thankful to the Holy Spirit tonight, more than anything else, for the long-suffering hand of God upon our lives this evening. We could never, any one of us, be here tonight if it wasn't for the grace of God. And you can be sure tonight, you're not here by accident either. God knew that you're going to be here. I just believe with all of my heart tonight that if we too, as the people of God, would come like Jahaziel did, and all the people of God, they gathered together, they stood before the Lord, and they said, Father, we don't know which way to turn, but we need you. I want to ask you tonight, if you'd be that Christian and come and join with me around this altar right now, without any singing, without any music, I want to invite you to come right now. If you have a heart for revival in America, of the United States, and you want that revival again with you and your heart, would you come and join me right now around this altar? Would you come? Just want to invite you to slip out and come right now where you are. Let's pray together tonight. It's an old-fashioned prayer meeting. This is a tent meeting. This is a revival meeting. And it's only going to happen when we pray together as the people of God. Now, I just believe deep down in my spirit tonight, there are many of you here tonight that want to make that step of faith right with God tonight. Would you come? I just want to invite you. There ought to be everybody in the world, everybody here tonight. Let's just come. Let's come before the Lord tonight and wait upon Him as we pray together. Let's show God that we mean business tonight with Him tonight, that we want to be His people. We want to be subjected to His leadership and under His anointing tonight. We just pray. Our nation right now is hanging in the balance. We need you. We need every person in this room joined together tonight. If you'll come tonight, if there's anything in your heart or life that's keeping you from a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, would you just make that clear to Him tonight? Thank you for coming. Thank you for coming. Stand down. Come on down a little closer, folks. Let's just pray together. Let's just make this an old-fashioned prayer meeting like Jeremiah Lamphere did in 1858. Let's have a revival like Asbury did in 1970 when the Holy Spirit fell on one student who stood and confessed her sins before the student body, and God erupted with the Holy Spirit, and 86 hours later, they're still meeting in Hughes Auditorium, and God's Spirit is still bathing His people in His love tonight. Oh, let's open our hearts to Him tonight. Would you join with me to pray? Would you join with me? Lift up your hearts to the Lord. I'm going to say to you in Spanish, Aclamamos al Señor. We open our hearts to the Lord God Almighty tonight. And we pray to Him with all of our hearts. Would you join with me in praying to the Lord tonight and just saying, Lord, I want to believe you. I'm trusting you tonight, Lord. Let that revival fire fall and let it fall on my heart tonight, Lord. I want to ask you tonight, God, would you cleanse us and purge us from all of our sins tonight, Lord? We confess to you, Father, that we are a dependent people. We need you. And Lord, we confess to you tonight, Lord, that we've come short of your glory many times in our life. But Father, we thank you for your faithfulness. Thank you for your love and mercy. And thank you for this old-fashioned tent meeting, Lord, that we're having here tonight. God, that you would manifest your love and grace and, Lord, pour out your spirit, Lord, upon all of us as your people, Lord. We so desperately need you tonight as a nation, as a people, oh Lord. We pray that, Father, you would rain down your righteousness upon us as a people tonight, Lord, and have mercy upon us, Lord, in the midst of all that's going on around us, Father. Have mercy upon us as the people of God tonight, that we may turn our hearts to you. Oh, Father, we ask you tonight, help us to be soldiers of the cross. Help us to be yielded to the foot of the cross tonight, Lord. We kneel before you tonight, Lord, in our hearts, our minds, our bodies, Lord. We humble our hearts before you tonight as the Almighty King of Kings and Lord of Lords. We thank you for that song tonight, Lord, that revealed the true character of Christ in every book of the Bible, Lord. We thank you tonight, Lord, for that reality tonight. And it just gives us joy in our hearts tonight, Lord, that we are not victims. We are victors tonight, Lord. And we thank you for that song, the children's song tonight, Lord. There's victory in Jesus tonight. Oh, hallelujah to the Lamb. Lord, thank you tonight. How faithful and good and merciful You have been to us this evening. Oh, Father, we pray tonight right now for every heart, every man, woman, and child. Lord, right now, Lord, search our hearts. Try and see if there is any way, Lord, in our life tonight that needs to be cleaned by you and purified by your Spirit. And Lord, change that innermost nature within us, each one of us. Lord, we pray for the disposition, Lord, of the Holy Spirit that makes us a holy people set apart for you, for your glory and honor. Lord, we pray. Put the go-to in our hearts tonight as well, Lord. Thank you tonight for how good you've been, how merciful you've been, Lord. We're standing here tonight. We're here tonight under your canopy of love tonight, Lord. And we pray that you'd write the banner of love over each and every heart here tonight, God. We pray for that divine love, Father, to fill us afresh tonight. Dear Jesus, tonight, please help us, Lord. If there's any unforgiveness, any unreserved grudge or resentment in our life tonight, Lord, reveal that to us and help us to confess that to you rapidly and quickly. And Lord, we pray that you'd restore us right now with that peace that passes understanding tonight, Lord. Thank you for the life and life abundantly that you've promised to those who would follow in your pathway and follow your ways, Lord. We thank you. We thank you this evening right now, Father. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. It's just a little chorus, Brother Brian. You know this chorus.
I've heard an old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sins and won the victory.
Hallelujah.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Sing that chorus again.
Oh, victory in Jesus, my Savior forever. He sought me and he bought me with his redeeming blood. He loved me ere I knew him, and all my love is to him. He plunged me to victory beneath the cleansing blood.
Hallelujah. Join hands with somebody with you. Join hands together. We're linked together in the body of Christ. Listen to me, man. Listen carefully. We're linked together. We are bonded together. We are one body. One member of the body suffers, we all suffer together. We rejoice with those that rejoice. We help those who are in need. We look out for those who are destitute and hungry and needy. We look out for those ones tonight because God has given us that choice and that responsibility as the body of Christ tonight. There's a revival coming here to Fairmount. There's a revival spirit flowing through this city and through this nation, Lord. Let it begin with us individually right now. You just make that commitment. Bow your heads with me one more time. Say it with me out loud. Thanks be unto God.
Thanks be unto God.
Who causes us always to triumph.
Who causes us always to triumph.
I can do all things through Christ.
I can do all things through Christ.
Who strengthens me.
Who strengthens me.
Thank you, Father.
Thank you, Father.
Create in me.
Create in me.
A clean heart.
A clean heart.
Renew a steadfast spirit.
Renew a steadfast spirit.
Take not your presence from me.
Take not your presence from me.
Restore unto me.
Restore unto me.
The joy of thy salvation.
The joy of thy salvation.
In Jesus' name.
Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Let's let these folks sing. Praise the Lord.
Sorry, you got tears all over.
We love you, folks. God bless you. 6:30 tomorrow night. Amen.
We love you.
We heard the Great Commission to go and spread the word. But sometimes our confession falls short of what we've heard. We need to simplify it and make the message clear. The good news of the gospel is all they need to hear. He bled, he died, he rose from the dead. 3 nails, 1 grave, 3 mites when he's dead. To reach the world, just reach the cross until the whole world knows. But everywhere you go, then he died, he rose. Give me praise, yeah. Go tell your friends and neighbors how you have been redeemed. Tell your brothers and your sisters the reason why you sing. It's really just that simple and worth it when you try. If we're ever gonna reach them, we've got to tell. He bled, he died, he rose from the dead. 3 nails, 1 grave, 3 mites where he's been. To reach the lost, just reach the cross until the whole world knows. And everywhere I go, he bled, he died, he rose. To reach the lost, just reach the cross until the whole world knows. To reach the lost, just reach the cross until the whole world knows.
Good night and God bless you. Praise the Lord. He lives.